of the way that we're going to approach this. This kind of builds off of what we've been doing in the Discovery Bible series, Discovery Bible study. So when we read a passage, we're going to try to answer two questions immediately. The first question that we're going to always keep before us when we read the passage, what's that tell us about God? Okay. Second question that we'll try to answer is, what does that tell us about people? And then after we've read all of these passages, we'll go back and we have some other questions that we're going to try to answer. But this will be our approach for every lesson. As we read the passages, we'll try to answer these two questions. What does that tell us about God? And you may get to this passage and think, well, I don't see a characteristic of God in that, but I sure see characteristics of people in that. And that's okay, because not every passage is going to tell us something about God. And sometimes it's not going to tell us anything about people. So that'll be kind of our guiding philosophy. Okay, so lesson one, bearing fruit. We're kind of going to start in an odd place. We're not going to try to specify what the fruit is just yet. We just want to come to an understanding that whatever we find that it is, ultimately, God expects us to be bearing fruit. He doesn't create us as Christians, as this new man, without having some expectations about what that's going to produce. So we're going to talk about that. You know, I was listening to a podcast, and I listen to podcasts a lot while I'm down here at the building studying, and I was listening to a podcast. Someone was talking about the Gospel of Matthew, and he said Matthew really focuses on five major speeches that Jesus delivers. The first one is the Sermon on the Mount. Of course, that's in Matthew 5. And so then he goes through and he talks about all of those different five different speeches that Jesus delivers. And he makes the point relative to the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus' expectations for his disciples are really high, and kind of makes the point that Matthew has this way of saying, you know, God has always had these expectations for people, not just in the New Testament, but God has always had these really high expectations of people, and he brings them out of Egypt and takes them to the promised land. And he does that so they can meet his expectations, and they fail. And then along comes Jesus, and he's the ultimate fulfillment. He is the person who was able to meet God's expectations. Okay? And so when Jesus tells his apostles at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I think we've missed some of the focus of that, because he continues. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, or even to the end of the age. And because we have quoted that passage to talk about the importance of baptism, and it does talk about the importance of baptism, we fail to recognize the importance of the end of that passage. teach them to observe all things, whatever I've commanded you. And so tonight we're gonna begin to kind of try to describe how God has expectations for us. He wants us to be really what he created us to be in the garden before we messed it all up. He before we failed. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the expectations, and the part that we're not going to get to tonight is the expectation that God will always be there with us. We're not going to bear fruit the way that God expects us to. We're going to fail. Okay. But we can still be God's people. God is always going to be with us, and he's always going to help us. And so we're going to talk about it. And that's kind of going to be our guiding theme as we go through bearing fruit for Jesus. Okay? So let's talk about these passages that we have, that I've listed here. And that, and by no means is this all, but I think these passages kind of focus on God's expectations that will be a certain kind of person. And we'll talk about what that kind of person is, but God has expectations of us. And not just the Father, but Jesus and the Spirit. The Spirit is with us still. And so they have expectations. And the broad way to describe those expectations is God expects us to bear fruit. Okay? So, Eileen, you want to read Matthew 3, 8 through 10? And then answer those two questions if you can.
Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is ready at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire.
And so this is John the Baptist, and he's talking to Pharisees that have come out to see him preaching in the wilderness. And they're not really interested, apparently, in what he has to say. This is a stern passage. In some other places, he calls them a brood of vipers, a bunch of snakes. So, what's it tell you about God?
Well, a lot. But, Kim Hazen, when I say everything.
Yeah, okay.
We do this on Fridays at Sharon's, and I have a terrible time. But anyway, I think God expects us to produce fruit, and God can, He can do anything. And they're, like you said, they are not interested. They think of Abraham as their father, and God is our father. And if we don't bear fruit, and if we don't, then we're cut out. I mean, we can be cut out if we don't produce good. And we can be cut down and thrown into a fire. But I know God is with us, and we're trying. As long as we're trying, I think God is with us.
Okay.
And even though it's frustrating.
Okay.
I mean, when you can't get your own husband to come to church, it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I don't, you know. But anyway, I know God is with us, and God... There's a lot more in here. I'm just not good at this. I'm just not good at this, Dean.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
I know you're doing a good job.
Okay.
So you make the point, I think, very well. God can make people anytime he wants to.
Yeah, he can make them into what he wants, as long as they're willing to go along with God.
Right, right.
God leads us all the time.
Right, because he doesn't zap us.
No.
He doesn't say, you will be a Christian, you won't be a Christian. But, you know.
I had a sixth grade teacher that if things didn't go his way, you got a thump on the head. And, man, I worked hard to keep away from that thump.
Well, I had teachers like that, too. And those are the ones I loved the most.
I know.
Because they were the strictest.
He was the best.
Except for one science teacher, but I had to work hard in this class because he did not like me, and I did not like him.
I can't imagine you not liking somebody.
Well, you'd have to know this teacher. But it was me. It really wasn't him. It was me.
Okay.
I will take the blame. It's never, you know, I'll take my attitude. I always talk about attitude, and, you know, you have to keep your attitude in check.
Okay. That's a good point. And if we're bearing fruit, God, that's what God wants.
Oh, yeah.
And he's so happy with us when we can bear fruit. And, okay, Frank, you want to read Matthew 7? 15 through 20?
Okay, here it is. Watch, 15 through 20?
Yeah.
Okay, I see. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. But their fruit will recognize them. Okay. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? No. Or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, it is cut down and thrown in the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them.
Okay. So what do you learn about God in this passage?
Well, he's patiently waiting for you to do what you should do.
Okay.
That's what I see.
Okay. And what do you learn about people?
People can do anything.
Well, people,
they don't always recognize what God's trying to show them.
Okay.
And sometimes that really hurts.
Okay. What do you see about these false prophets?
Just wish they didn't exist.
Yeah, I wish they didn't too. But
how are you gonna
find them? How are you gonna know?
Well, if it doesn't follow, you know, God's way, you know enough in Scripture that you know when something is not going correctly. And I believe it's up to the individuals to recognize that and turn away from it.
Okay. Anybody else at home? What do you see about God? Or what do you see about men in this passage?
We can tell good people by the fruit that they bear and bad people by the fruit that they bear.
Okay.
Watch how they behave.
Okay. Good point. We will bear fruit. And there is this, when Paul talks to Timothy about appointing elders, in 1 Timothy 5, he says, at the end of this book, he says two things. One, drink a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and thine oft infirmities. And my friend who was my mentor said that's because he was going to appoint elders. And he said, don't forget to drink a little wine to get through this. No, that's a joke, okay. But really what he says is, lay hands suddenly on no man.
Right.
Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before unto judgment. Some men's sins, they follow after them. The good works, or the evil works of some cannot be hid, and the good works of others will be revealed. So I think what that tells me is, and this is a bad way to say it, give people a little bit of rope and they'll hang themselves. They'll eventually show what kind of people they are. And just hang in there. Their fruits will reveal who they are. And he kind of begins with this idea. Good trees don't produce bad fruit. Bad trees don't produce good fruit.
Right.
That's just the way it is. If you have an apple tree that produces sweet, delicious apples, it'll always produce sweet, delicious apples. And if you have an apple tree that for some reason produces bitter apples,
get rid of it.
Get rid of it, because it's not ever going to produce good apples. So, we produce fruit. It's just God has a kind of fruit that he wants us to produce. And we'll talk more about the fruit. Let's see. Diana, can you read Matthew 12, 23, or 33 through 37? Can you hear me, Di? Maybe not. You're muted, by the way. Okay. Jane, you want to read this? Matthew 12, 33 through 37. I'm sorry?
Oh, I just wondered if you
could. Okay. You said 33 through 37?
Yeah.
Okay. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasures what is good. And the evil man brings out of his evil treasures what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
So what does that tell you about God?
That he cares about what we how we conduct ourselves and what we say and do.
Okay. And how about what it teaches you about people?
People are evil. They will say and do evil things.
Well, they can be.
Yeah.
There are some people that are good.
There are some good people. And we know them by the things that they do and say.
Okay. Do you ever encounter a time where a good person says something that just doesn't fit them?
Yep. I've heard that.
Yeah, I've done it. I struggle with that all the time. Sometimes I blurt out things, and they're just not the kind of things that that would come out of me.
Yeah.
And I think I take great comfort in knowing that if I have a good heart, the aberration will be an aberration, and everybody will know it. And I think God knows it too. Yeah, Eileen.
I'm just going to say, well, and sometimes, we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. And sometimes we do say things. And a lot of times, since they know us and know that we're Christians or know, you know, they are shocked. You know, and they go, that doesn't sound like you. And then you're taken aback and say, yes, I apologize. That's not me. I don't, you know. So if you're bearing good fruit or living a good Christian life, I think a lot of people want to pick on you.
Okay.
They want to find every fault that you have. And, you can't be a Christian because you said that or, you know. And you know, that takes you aback, too, because you don't want to be, you know, not known as a Christian. But I think if people know you, you know, they might say, I can't believe you said that or something. You know, because they know you. You know,
yeah.
They know you.
Yeah. If you have a good heart, you will produce good fruit.
Right.
Okay? There might be... slips and difficulties that we have.
Only one person that I know of was Jesus Christ that could live a perfect life.
Okay.
You know, say what he means and what it should be. That's
true.
The only one I know.
True. True.
The rest of us are just struggling.
Yeah, and we all struggle with those kinds of things. We have a difficult time. It's not easy in some ways to be the kind of person God wants you to be.
That's right. You got to struggle with that all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's not
every
so
day.
Much what I say, but the things that pop in my mind, I'm going, where did that come from? I wasn't thinking about that. I wasn't doing that. And this garbage comes in my mind. And I mean, right away I repent, but where does that come from? You know, I just go, where in the world did that come from? You know, I don't know. It bugs me. It bugs me.
Okay.
I don't like it. I hate it.
Okay. But the point that you're making is, yeah, it came into my mind or I thought something and it's like, you really are saying, where did that come from?
Yeah.
That's not me. Don't do that. You know, you get mad at somebody driving down the road and you
voice your
I started saying prayers. Thank you, Lord, for letting me not hit them. And I'm not a perfect person, but I do. Because road rage is real.
Oh, yeah.
I've had it. I never chased anybody down. I never gotten a verbal thing. But I have had road rage. And so I thought...
So Rick had to take the crowbar out of your car.
No. But I just pray for me and the people. I'm sorry, Lord, and please help that person and me, and thank you for not letting me run into them or them not run into us or whatever. I just, because I know it's real.
Oh, sure.
So
sure.
I say prayers now.
Well, but I think that's, you have a good heart, and something came out of your mouth, and you think, where on earth did that come from? Because that's not me. Mm-hmm. And I think people know that, and I think God knows that as well.
Well, yeah, he has a constant record on you.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You know, I mean,
that's true.
Yeah, just simple as that.
That's true. I failed a math test when I was, a sophomore in college. I was taking a statistics class. And typically math is not hard for me.
Yeah.
Okay. And I went through the whole math course, doing fine, had a straight A, got to the final, and I got every question wrong. And the teacher of the course called me in and he said, "This is just not like you. I don't know where this came from." I said, "Well, let me tell you something. I got progressive lenses put in my glasses and they really screwed me up. I couldn't see the numbers." And do you know, he said, "Okay, I'll give you two options. I know that this is not you, okay? I'll give you two options. You can either retake the test and use your old glasses, or I'll just give you the grade you had before you took this test." And I said, "Just give me the grade I had," and I had an A. But I absolutely failed that test. And on another occasion, I had a fellow student who called me up late at night. We were trying to write up, this student was a year ahead of me, and they were trying to write up the results of an experiment that they had done. Mm-hmm. And she was having a hard time getting started and kind of writing it all up. And I said, "Okay, here's the way I would write it." And I said, so I went through the way I would write it. Well, I didn't know she was writing it down as I was saying it. So she turned in her paper, got a good grade. The next year, I took the class. And we had to do the same experiment. And we had to provide the write-ups, you know. And so I wrote up what I found when I did the experiment. And the professor called me in. They were going to throw me out of college. Mm-hmm. He called me in and he said, "You plagiarized this student's paper." He pulled out her paper and my paper, laid them next to each other, and it was word for word. Mm-hmm. And I said, it had escaped my notice that she had called me. I forgot about that. It wasn't a big deal for me.
Yeah.
Okay. My faculty advisor came in. He's the only one that kept me in college because he came in and said, "No, that's, he didn't cheat. He didn't plagiarize her. If anything, she plagiarized what he told her." Mm-hmm. She just wrote it down as her work. And if he hadn't known me and known what kind of statistics student I was, I've been kicked out of the University of California at Riverside. No questions. Mm. And that was in my graduate program. Okay, so you get kicked out of that program, you don't get back in. So I think what that tells me about people is we do make mistakes. We do have lapses. But God knows.
Yes, but also you lived the correct way and they saw that in you and you knew, and they knew you were smart and had and could pass the math test.
Yeah.
They knew you, and that makes a difference. If you don't know somebody, you can be pretty judgmental. And I realized that one professor thought you plagiarized, but
well, you can be fooled.
Yes.
That's true.
If you don't know people.
That's true. That's true.
And your point is a good one. You can leap to mistakes in judgment.
And I always say I'm a pretty good judge of character, but, you know, I still make mistakes.
Oh, sure.
You know, I mean, I've made mistakes on either really like that person and found out that they weren't the person I thought, or didn't like that person and grew to know them and ended up liking them. My mother always said, you know, pretty is pretty does. In other words, you know, and the inside is more important than the outside.
Yeah, yeah, good point. Okay, Jerry, you want to read, let's see, Matthew 13, 18 through 23?
Where is it?
Okay. So what's it tell you about God? Okay, what's it tell you about people? How you really feel, Jerry? But I think that's true. I think that's true. What do you? Well, he sows the seed on the bad people, even on the worthless ones. And you know, I've always heard this described in terms of old time farmers, that they basically put their seed in a sack around their shoulder and they just reached in the sack and they broadcast it by hand. Okay. Now I did that in my yard one time and I wound up with really green crescents. I didn't spread the seed evenly. That's because I don't know how to spread seed. Okay. That's not a fault of the seed.
Right.
I watched my grandfather sow seed that way, and he got an even stand all along the way. He knew how to throw the seed. So God, if he's the sower, he's never sowing seed where he didn't intend to.
Right.
Okay. If it went on the path, that's because he wanted it to go on the path. If it went on the good soil, that's where he wanted it to go. And I guess from my perspective, that's real encouraging that God knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And if he planted on me, that's because he wanted me to bear fruit.
Right.
Okay? Because he's not going to waste seed. And you, if you're a farmer, you don't waste seed. No. Seed's expensive. Okay. I'll read Luke 13. Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. He went to look for fruit on it, but he didn't find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" Sir, the man replied, "Leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then I'll cut it down." So if God is the owner of the vineyard, okay, and that's kind of the perspective that I have on it. If God is the owner of the vineyard, he expects us to be bearing fruit. He came to the tree and he was looking for fruit. He expected to find some, and it wasn't there. And so he's going to cut it down. If it keeps on not bearing fruit, he will cut it down. Because it in some translations, I think in the King James it says it cumbers the ground, or it just uses up the ground. It's sucking up nutrients that other trees that will bear fruit can use. So cut it down. And then I have a hard time figuring out who the man is who's keeping track of the vineyard, who's taking care of it. And I think in my mind, this is a picture of elders. They're shepherding the flock. They're taking care of us. They're fertilizing around us. They're digging around us. And they're doing what they can to produce a good crop. And when God wanted to cut the tree down, they said, the elders, the man that was taking care of the vineyard, said, "Let me give it some extra attention and see if it'll bear fruit." King James says, "Let me dung around it for a year. Let me fertilize it."
Yeah.
"And I'll dig around it and I'll pay particular attention to this tree and see if it'll bear fruit."
And you know what I think when I read this? I think of God's long suffering for us. He doesn't want anybody to miss out on him. So sometimes he gives you more time.
Oh, well, that's true. That's true.
That's very interesting.
And thankfully he didn't cut me down the first time I didn't bear fruit.
I feel like I've bared any, so.
We're all in that boat. But rely on people that'll fertilize you. And they'll dig around you and see if they can get you to bear fruit. And they kind of coax you along, you know, and they they do everything short of grab the trunk of the tree and shake it and say, come on, you know. He didn't do that, but he fertilized it. And that's kind of the, sometimes when we encounter people that aren't bearing fruit, our response is to threaten them instead of digging around them. Instead of encouraging them to bear fruit. And there's a lot to be said for, Kim is very good at this. If you are just having a hard time trying to talk to somebody about the gospel, or if you're having a hard time with anger, Kim is very good about saying, you know, you're going into this situation, you're likely to get angry, how about if I go with you? And I'll just kind of help you out a little bit. Or she says, why don't you come, I'm teaching this Bible class, why don't you come with me? And we'll have this Bible class. And you'll see, this is not something that you can't do. Okay? So I think Kim is one of those people that's a real encourager. And for the most part, I think that's the job of the elders, to be encouragers and building people up. Okay. Eileen, or Di, did we get Di back?
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. Uh-oh. Try again, Di.
I haven't gotten to Zoom since.
Okay. Can you read John 15, 1 and 2?
I will try. My computer keeps flashing off.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Which one did you say again? I'm sorry.
John 15, verses 1 and 2.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful.
Okay. What's that tell you about God?
That he is always there with the answers and the words that you need. It's just getting them into your own mouth, I guess. I don't know how else to say that. But the answers are always there in the words that you need to speak to someone. And that is my biggest problem. I'm not a vocal person. So I understand that.
Okay. Sometimes it's not words. Sometimes it's the way that you behave.
Well, and I hope that it counts, because I know my getting my words out is extremely hard for me.
Remember what he said to women who were married to unbelievers. He said, who knows? They may come to acknowledge God without words, because they will observe your good behavior. And I think that means a lot. So, you know, it's not always having the right words. Sometimes it's
just your actions also, your behavior.
Yeah, right. Somebody breaks down by the side of the road and you stop and help them. That goes a long way. That goes a long way. When I was preaching in Alaska, the Mount Redoubt, which was an active volcano kind of close to Anchorage, blew its top, and I mean, it dumped ash all over the place. It was even worse than when Mount St. Helens blew and you had ash here. We had ash like that thick, and it you could see it everywhere. It fell on white snow. Mm-hmm. And then it snowed again. And so when you plowed, you got a layer of snow, then a layer of ash, and then a layer of snow.
Oh, wow.
And cars were breaking down all over the place. And it was dangerous because it was in the really cold part of the winter. It was in December. And we had come together for a Sunday evening assembly, and we looked around and noticed that there was a couple that wasn't there. And so everybody said, well, let's go find them. We've got to go find them. Because they could freeze to death if they're stuck. We found them. Their car choked out, got too much ash in the carburetor, wouldn't run. And so we were able to get them to a safe place. And people heard about us doing that. And they couldn't believe that we did that. That in the cold winter, we went looking for somebody because we were worried about them.
But to us, that's the norm?
Yeah, that's the norm. I was listening to another podcast I was listening to, and somebody was talking about he lived in Louisiana when they had the terrible floods.
Yeah.
And it flooded his house. I mean, just destroyed his house. And the police came and said, you have to evacuate. And he didn't know what he was going to do. He's a young guy, had a young wife and two little babies. And somebody from church came by in a boat and said, come to my house. You can stay at my house. And then when it came time for him to clean up his house, a bunch of folks from church came over and helped him clean up the house. And it wasn't like he even worshiped there. He was a student at the time. But they knew that he needed help. And that's what they did. And I think that goes a long way.
Oh, yes, it does.
A long, long way, yes. That's what, to me, being a Christian is.
Yeah. And we'll talk about bearing fruit. Like that. That's the fruit that we bear. It's the way that we behave. Okay? I'll read Romans 7 at verse 4. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died in the law through the body of, or to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that you might bear fruit to God. And what that tells me about God, because he's talking about Jesus and the sacrifice that he made, the life that he lived, you know, we need to expand our view of Jesus. He did a lot more than just die on the cross. He came here and he lived for 3 years to show us what it would be like if you lived the way God wanted you to live. And then he did die. And the Romans did kill him. No question. And then he was raised again from the dead. And all of that tells me how much God loves me, that he was willing to let Jesus come here from heaven. And he really wants us badly. It's like I did a lot when I was trying to win Kim. And I had to do a lot because I wasn't a very good catch.
Oh, what?
You know.
She must have thought you were.
Just like God did a lot, because we weren't a very good catch at the time. He really went out of his way to get us. He loved us that much. And he did all of that so that we could bear fruit. So his expectation, I think, is that we will bear fruit. Didn't get through lesson one.
Good.
But that's okay. We'll start at that point. We'll take up with Colossians, the first chapter, and then we'll go on and we'll answer the questions.